Proverbs chapter 30. I'd appreciate it if you'd look up here and listen this morning. Jacob asked me the other day, he said, did you notice that I never bring my phone to church? I said, well, yeah, Jacob, I've noticed that. He said, I think it's disrespectful. Yeah. Amen, Jacob. Yes, sir. Yeah. All right. Proverbs chapter 30. I named this. I told Seth, he asked me about a song, and I said, well, you know anything that'll go with a message named Four Ways to Hell? Well, that's kind of hard to come up with. Really, it ought to be four things, four wonderful things. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. That all sounds real wonderful, don't it? But that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about positive, wonderful things. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Those first three were just examples. Four were just examples of what the last thing he mentioned there. All right. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for what we've heard this morning already here. Thank you for the Word of God, the wonder of it. Thank you for the truth of it, for what it does to us, for us, and in us. Lord, please help it to have free course in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Four examples are given here of the way of sin and sinners. Let me just tell you this, if you ever, you know, for any preacher that wants to preach on these, don't look for any help in the commentaries, because there is none. If you look, I do look at commentaries. I don't get my messages from commentaries, but I get a lot of help with my messages from some commentaries. And anybody don't believe that or don't think that way, just go ahead and meander around and shotgun every message and go ahead. We'll see how it comes out in the end, which way it comes out better. But I looked here, I was telling my wife, I said, look here at these different commentaries, all these well-known commentaries from way back. You know, John Wesley, no comment on these verses. Matthew Henry, no comments on these verses. Now, there are some in the full commentary. He does comment a little bit. Different ones, like Barnes, he just kind of repeated what he said there. Well, here's three things, four, that's wonderful, too wonderful for me. Can't understand them. And then others, so many more. Just no comment on these verses. I thought, you know, God didn't put this stuff in the Bible that don't mean nothing. This is not just to read through and like, you know, meaningless. It's not that way at all. There's some real truths in here we need to look at that'll help us this morning. Four examples are given. It's the way of sin and sinners. I mean, what we're looking at, they all point to what's said in verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth, wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. Now, this adulterous woman is what God always uses as a comparison to the idolatry and apostasy of those who are called God's people. Now, are you with me? That's what God always used. I challenge you. Go through the Bible and look. The prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Hosea. Look at all those prophets. Not just them. Look at the others. And you'll find that that's... And then in Revelation, what is that that great whore of Revelation? You know, that's what it's... I know I'm being... You're all taking this like, oh no, he's going to be real ugly this morning. No, this will really help us all. We're not bearing in on women this morning. We're just bearing in on the truth and the way of sin and sinners. Yeah, and everybody needs this. God used this as the example, an illustration, comparison with idolatry and apostasy. So the application here is valid. both in human and in spiritual affairs. We can look at these things that he gave us here, and we can get what he's trying to say about them, and we can apply it to our life, our relationships, our spiritual life, our walk with God. We can see, we can get a lot of good out of this. We can learn from this in both our relationship with God and with our relationships with others. All right, now the first thing to glean from what the Word of God is saying here is that the very nature of sin and sinners is to be sneaky and hide what they're doing and what they intend to do. Now that's the, you need to get that because that's the main thrust of the whole thing here this morning. Everybody's so shocked when it breaks out. When it's revealed, when it's uncovered, everybody's so shocked. You know, I had a preacher here telling me not too long ago about a big immoral mess that happened in their church. And I thought then, well, man, how come you didn't see that coming? You don't always see it coming. Amen. That's the nature of the whole deal. It's stealth. It's sneaky. It is hidden. Sinners hide their sin. Sin by its very nature hides and creeps and lurks around and pretends to be something it's not and puts off a display, a facade of an image, projects an image that's not what it's really doing. It's saying, look at this, while it's doing its work over here. That's the way it is. That's the way of an eagle in the air. An eagle flies through the air. You can't hear him. You don't hear him. That little rabbit on the ground don't hear him. Little rabbit on the ground don't see him normally. But if he could see him, he don't know which way he's going to turn. He don't know what that eagle's a seeing. You can't trace him. You can't track an eagle. Wherever he goes, he leaves no trace. As such is an adulterous woman. Remember that. His course cannot be predicted. His trail cannot be traced. The fact that he is so stealthy is his greatest advantage. Only he knows what he's doing or what he's planning to do. Now we know what he's going to do, but we just don't know when or how. Yeah. Y'all getting this? All right. That's what he's saying. He didn't just pick out random things and say, well, I'm two, three, all about this. No, the way of an eagle in the air. There's three things, yea, four, that are too wonderful for me. And I don't mean good. Wonderful, one of the meanings of wonderful is hidden. Wonder. Wonder. Hard to understand. Hard to get a hold of. Hard to grasp. Hard to discern. Hard to comprehend. That's what he's saying. These four things here. He said, it's hard for me to get my mind around them, how this works. But he said, I do know this. That's the way an adulterous woman is. And remember, that applies to a plain old adulterous woman. But it applies to the people of God also. It works the same way. The way of a serpent upon a rock. Now, he didn't say a way of a serpent in the dust. He'll leave a trail in the dust. You ever see a trail where a snake went through the dust? Oh, sure. But on a rock, he don't leave no trail. On a rock, it's a different story. He can't be heard. You don't hear a snake on a rock. Now, sometimes you can hear them in the leaves and on the ground. They'll rustle a little bit. And you ever been startled by that? Look down, it's a snake. But not if you're on a rock. He makes no noise. He leaves no trail. He leaves no evidence. I mean, what he's doing is just him. He knows. It's hidden with him. His quietness and his slow movement is his greatest advantage. You can't predict what he's going to do. He may turn and bite you. He may run away from you. He may just be real still and hope you'll go by and not see him. Such is an adulterous woman. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. It's the way of a serpent on a rock. It's the way of an eagle in the air. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Well, again, nobody hears except those who are on board the ship. Ain't nobody knows. Now, we're talking about ships before they had diesel engines and all of this. I seen some boats the other day. They were race boats, and they'd go from zero to 260 mile an hour in just a few seconds. Boy, they were tearing it up. You can hear them. Yeah, you can hear these big ships now that have all the engines and all of that. But a sail ship? Have you ever thought about that? Sailing in the sea. No noise. Just the sloshing of the water as you slip through the water. And there's no trail. The only thing that even marks it at all is the wake immediately behind the ship. But as the ship goes, it just disappears too. And there's no trace. Nobody can come through there and say, well, a ship just went through here. Nuh-uh. Nobody knows that ship just went through there. Again, it's hidden, see? The way of a ship in the midst of the sea, it's hidden. You don't know. They talk about highways in the seas and all that, but there ain't no trace of them. You can't spot them. You can't see it. You can't recognize it. No one knows that a ship's passed through there after it's gone. And its speed and its course are subject to the wind. Now then he says, the way of a man with a maid. Now that's speaking of a man seducing a young woman. It's not a man who is seeking a bride, or it wouldn't be compared to an adulterous woman. Y'all get that? That's an important point right there. This is not talking about how wonderful romance is and how wonderful it is to see a man and a woman fall in love and gag. That ain't what it's talking about. It's talking about wickedness. It works the same way. As a serpent on a rock, as an eagle in the air, as a ship in the midst of the sea, this man with a maid. You young girls, listen to this very carefully. He makes sure that the little glances, the flirtatious words, the flattery, the touch are not seen or known of anyone but her. Is that right? You better believe that's right. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Mark it down. Any man, any young man, old man, any man with the right kind of intentions toward a woman is going to be out in the open with it and in front of other people with it, and it ain't going to be this hidden, sneaky, stealthy, subtle stuff behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to be hiding. The way of a man with a maid, in this way, it's going to be hidden. He's going to cover his tracks. Yes, sir. Everyone, every move he makes is hidden from everyone but her. And what everybody else sees is a perfect gentleman with noble intentions. He'll cover his evil intentions by portraying himself to have high morals. That's the way it works, y'all. Now, that's the way it works. Every time. Better get that down. This is the way of sin and the way of sinners. This is the way that you end up destroyed. Like an eagle in the air. Like a ship in the sea. Like a serpent on a rock. Like a man with a maid. I know where situations are going on right now where foolish mothers and parents and fathers are oblivious and mothers are as foolish as they can be. Watching their children, their daughters and their romance and thrilling with it and gaga with it. And it ain't nothing but what we're talking about right here. And too foolish to see it. And too wicked themselves to even acknowledge the thing. He convinces her that he loves her. with words and gifts and attention, and she surrenders to him far too easily. Now that's the way of a man with a maid. That's the way young girls get in trouble. That's the way they wreck and ruin their lives. Amen. That's exactly the way it is. Oh, everybody loves to watch an eagle, don't they? When we come to church, like in the wintertime and the early spring, we see eagles, and in the fall sometimes. And everybody's, oh, look, it was an eagle. Look at that eagle flying through there. Ain't he pretty? Yeah, he's pretty. It's awesome to watch, ain't it? It's majestic and everything. Remember what the Bible compares that to. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. Like an eagle in the air. We think it's wonderful. And that's the way sin always starts out. The way it started in the garden there, when Satan got Eve to look at the fruit, what was he pointing her to? Something pleasant to the eyes and good for food and to be desired to make one wise. It always happens this way. This is the way these things are. These are the consistently common ways of sin. So the examples given here, think about this. Covers the air, the eagle flying, the snake on the rock, the earth, the air, the land, the sea, and a human heart. Every one of them. He covered it all. Here's an example from every direction you can look on the face of this earth, and this is the way it is. This is what's wrong. This is what's wrong with mankind. This is what's wrong with God's creation here that sin has brought into this mix. Now, we should also take note that the end of the story is not spoken of in these verses. The way of an eagle in the air ends with the death and devouring of some poor creature that was completely unaware of what was going on until he was suddenly in the talons of that ravenous bird of prey. Wonderful, beautiful. Look at that eagle. Ain't that something? Don't you wish you could fly like that? Well, people are shocked when they see the end of the story. You know, all these nature lovers and all, they're aghast when they see what an eagle does. When they see why he's flying around like that. When they realize what he had in his mind and what he had in his intentions. Boy, he don't look so pretty anymore to them. You got snake lovers that love to hug them and handle them and waller them all over them. And every once in a while, quite often, you read about them in the news where he kills them, chokes them to death. These big old pythons and all these. I don't know what in the world's the matter with people. I think it's a demonic thing myself. You can spit and cuss me and called me all kinds of names, but I believe that's right. There's a natural repulsion. He said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and his seed. And there's enmity. I ain't never had any affection for snakes. I've never wanted to pet one, hold one, kiss one. Nothing but revolt is all that I got in me about snakes. And I believe any normal human being is that way too. Amen. Yeah. Well, they're God's creatures. Well, there's something about them. Won't you kiss a hornet, a wasp, a scorpion? Won't you hug them? People try to hug alligators. You ever seen them? I seen one try to do that, and that thing turned around and liked it, got him, boy. Goofy. But see, that's the way people are with sin. They don't realize. I mean, the way of an eagle, the way of a serpent, the way of a ship in the sea. People think, boy, sailing the sea, that'd be something. Yeah. Deliver me from it. The way of a serpent on a rock ends with a sudden, unexpected, venomous bite that paralyzes the unsuspecting victim who is swallowed by the serpent or dies from the bite. That's what happens when you mess with a serpent. That's what he is gonna do. That's what he does. That's how he is. I don't care if he's on a rock or in the dust or whatever. If he's on a rock, he's more stealth and more hidden. But he's fixing to eat something. He's fixing to bite something. That pretty snake, all those colors and everything. It's a little different when he's got a frog in his mouth swallowing him tail first and he's screaming and screaming and screaming as he goes down. It's a little different when they swallow, them great old big snakes swallow a little boy or something like they do. That's the end. See, then we're not reading the end of the story here. He's just saying this is the way that this awful thing happens. It starts out like this, but it ends up like this. And we're going to talk about it. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea is often straight to the bottom of the ocean. I mean, when a storm comes out of nowhere and breaks a ship up or turns it upside down, it goes to the bottom. Now, that's the way of a ship. He might make it to his destination, but he might not. And the longer he sails the sea, the less chance he's got of reaching his destination. The way of a man with a maid, as spoken of here, ends with sin and defilement that cannot be wiped away. There's some things about that I really would like to say, but I'm not going to say it. But I'm telling you, that is real. The Bible, that word is not just in there as a fill word or there's some real meaning there. A woman is defiled. Fornication is sinning against the body. Every other sin's different than that one. Now that's what the Bible's telling you. You're defiled. And that cannot be washed away. Can't be washed away. That's what it ends with. It ends with defilement that cannot be wiped away and confusion that wrecks the lives of all those affected. I don't know why it is that young women and women in general, period, are so oblivious to that. And it's so impossible to get them to understand that. The way of a man with a maid. Yeah, too wonderful. How can it happen? Do y'all ever consider that? Do you look at some pretty, young, pure girl and worthless character of no character, ugly and nasty looking, and she'll go with him? How does that happen? Well, that's what he's saying here, the way of a man with a maid. What in the world? How? Why? When she could have her pick of anybody, and he gets her for a little while and dumps her, throws her back, and that's what happens. Amen. You better believe that. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. You never suspect her. Now, everybody thinks they're so wise and smart and clever and sharp. I can spot them. You better think that over again. I'm here to tell you that is not the way it is. You'll never suspect her. She wipes her mouth as soon as she's eaten, it says, and says, I've done no wickedness. She does away with all the evidence as soon as the deed is done. She can carry on with her life as if everything is fine, and she's as pure and faithful as the driven snow. She has to be what they call a dichotomy. She has to act as if she's two separate persons. And you wonder where all this mental illness is coming from? You wonder where all this stuff is where people are bipolar and are two personalities and all of this? Hiding! Trying to pretend that they're not guilty when they are guilty and their own heart tells them they are. Men can hardly keep from boasting of their conquests. This is kind of hard to preach with children in the room and mixed company and everything, but I'm trying to be real careful. But men, they got to boast. They got to tell somebody. And you girls and everybody better remember that too. You think your secret's safe with him? You better think again. He is going to boast about what he done to you. Yes, sir. You need to think about that. You need to hear him in your mind telling his buddies. Because he will. Men can hardly keep from boasting of their conquest, but women do not have that characteristic. They can keep it secret. They can keep it to themselves. Men have to have possession, and men have to make it known that they have possession. But a woman doesn't. All she requires is that it be secret. It's nature. It's the nature of male and female across the whole. We saw something the other day, and I told her, see, ain't that something? It's across the board. We were watching some animals, I think it was about, I don't even remember now, but it was, I said, see, that's the way it is. Males are males and females are females, and there's a great difference in the character, the whole way of thinking, their disposition about it all. And men must possess. You women just have a hard time understanding that. You think men don't understand women. I think there's a great lack of the way of, on the other side, much more. Women do not understand men. They think they do, but they absolutely don't. And what's right in their face, they won't acknowledge and believe. Men have to possess. You young woman, the way of a man with a maid, any woman, not just young women, but I'll guarantee you, you need to understand that way of a man with a maid, that guy at work, that boy at school, that boy that you meet here and there, that goes about it this way, he's looking at you as something to conquer, something to possess. You're a conquest. Men in their lust will become careless and reckless, while women will maintain caution and guard the secrecy much more diligently. Boy, better take this to the bank. That's the nature of sin and sinners, to hide. That's the message this morning. It's this thing of hiding. And it appears that women are somewhat better at hiding sin than men are. Because men in their lust and in their violent nature, it'll just get out with them. They, and in their desire to brag about their conquests, women can hide it much better. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. I read this to my wife last night. This is a quote. Sin is so in opposition to the voice of the human conscience that even those who love it most work and seek to hide it. Think about that. Sin is so wrong and it's so opposed. Your conscience is so opposed to it. That even if you love it, you still try to hide when you do it. Yes, sir. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They love it. They'll try to justify it. They'll stand up and they'll get rid of all the evidence and say, I ain't done nothing wrong. You can't prove it. But their own heart condemns them. The very fact that they deny it is evidence that they know it's wrong. And yet they do it anyway. And they think they're going to stand before God and somehow be excused or pardoned or forgiven. No way. You got the witness in you. You're going to be without excuse, no matter what, standing before God. She seeks to hide her shame by pretending she has done nothing wrong. The fact that sinners deny doing the deed proves that they know it's wrong. Why would they lie about it if they really, really believe that it's okay? Men love darkness rather than light, and so that gives evidence that there is within them something that condemns their unholy deeds, and they got to hide to do them and then lie to keep them hidden. But with all her hiding and pretending and trying to tell herself that all will be well, She eventually finds herself in such a dark place that she has no hope at all. That's right. Oh, I see them everywhere. Wasted women. Just wasted. Totally debased. Humiliated. No dignity at all left whatsoever. That's what this does. That's what it does. When we apply these truths here to those who are known as the people of God, we can see the same things played out. Apostasy begins in the hidden places, and it's accomplished through stealthy methods and actions. In your life, in a church's life, in a whole group of people, like a denomination, if you want to call it that, this is the way this happens. This is the way they get from, and this is the way a person gets from knowing the truth. And in Romans chapter 1, they knew God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is how you get from that point to the point where we see everything now. You know, Gary talking this morning about part-time positions in the church where you can serve part-time. If you don't come to church all the time, they got places they can put you and plug you in where you can teach Sunday school when you're there. You can do this when you're there. You know, that's where we get from you know, holiness and standards and all this. There's a church covenant on the wall right there. Names a whole bunch of different things that you promise not to participate in or be identified with if you're going to be a member of this church. All churches used to have church covenant on the wall. Go out there and look around and see if you can find it anymore. Anything goes now. You can be a cussing Christian, a drinking Christian. You can be a fornicating Christian. You can be any kind of Christian. How did they get there? Same old way. Is what we've been talking about here. It happens slowly. It happened in hidden places. It begins with a pretext of love and beauty and pleasant things. An eagle flying. A serpent on a rock. Look at those pretty colors and patterns on it. What are the prettiest snakes? The most poisonous snakes. The deadliest snakes are the most attractive to the eye. They're the ones with the distinct patterns. Red on yellow, kill a fella. Ain't that right? Red on black, friend of Jack. Well, I don't know about that. I ain't friends with no snake. But you know by the colors, by the appearance, that it can kill you. But it begins with the pretext of love and beauty and pleasant things. Why? It's just what, you know, we were talking about there in Sunday school this morning too. Love. That's what, it's all about love and positive things. What'd you call it? Say, Gary, it was angry Christians now are the ones that are fighting hatred with love. You just get plumb stupid. Sin just makes you plumb stupid. How's that for good, proper English? Anybody can tell I ain't been to seminary. The seduction of the people of God begins with flattery and promises of good and better things and with the removal of moral boundaries. So what's happening right now to multitudes? They're being seduced. The way of the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth him. So it's been... Why? This old-fashioned stuff's out of date. We can have church and have a good time, and we can have our music, and we can do away with all this legalism. And the dummies don't even know what legalism is. I heard a statement the other day from a worldly source, and it said the law and morality must be the same. Must be the same thing. Well, we've got that's a long gone precept, isn't it? The fact is that a trap is about to be sprung, and it's being hidden at all cost. That's what apostasy, that's how it works. That's how the churches go from point A to point B. That's how a person, an individual in their life does the same thing. We've all known people. I've sat in church with people. I've heard them praise the Lord. I've heard them testify. I've heard them preach. I've watched them go to mission fields. I've watched them do everything and then turn out to be. And now total apostates and reprobates. What happened? The eagle flying in the air, the serpent on the rock, the ship in the sea. That's just how it happened. The Bible's telling us that here. You think you got it all figured out? Think you're sailing the sea safely and smoothly? That serpent ain't going to hurt you. He's just another one of God's creatures. Everything's good. Everything's okay. Nothing to fear. Nothing to be concerned about. All things are lawful for me. And it's a trap. It is about to be sprung. But it's hidden and you can't see it. Those who are involved in this apostasy, they insist that they're pure and clean and have done no wickedness and have no evil intentions. And all they're about is love. Love of the brethren. You better be careful with people that's all they got to talk about. And that's all they ever say. And that's the only realm they live in is just sweetness and beauty and wonder and la la la. Yeah, they're in la la land. And you will be too if you don't wake up. The end of it's death for somebody, somewhere. Don't think apostasy don't matter to you. I think about my children, my grandchildren, the ones that are going to come even after that, great-grandchildren, ain't too far off probably. And I'm wondering, what about them? What's going to happen in the future? If everybody is seduced by this wicked world and all of its fancy, eye-catching, convenient, pleasant, comfortable things and attractions. We're all in it. I mean, the thought of living like people used to live, we can't even imagine it. We can't do that. Our conveniences and our comfort and our luxuries and all the things that satisfies, we've been drawn into the trap. All that's more important to us. It's a stumbling block to us. We will not, cannot, refuse to stand for the truth at all costs anymore. The end of it is defilement of many and the ruination of what was a pure and good and holy thing. The end of it is darkness and no hope and nothing to offer others that have no hope. You understand? Are you still with me? I'm trying to apply this to the churches, to the individual Christian life. If you're not aware, if you don't pay attention to how sin works, I mean, look in your own heart right now. Look in your own life. What's hidden? What are you hiding? You got things that you're keeping a lid on? Is all open before the Lord and everybody? Are you really what this modern term is, transparent? Are you got things hidden that you're cultivating and fooling with, entertaining in your mind? We got to apply these truths to our own lives. We got to consider them when we're involved with other people. Look around you. Remember these things when you're living with a wife. Remember? Better remember. There wasn't nobody saying anything like this to me when I was young. I wish they had them. Yes, sir. A lot of things in life could be avoided if you would get some wisdom. If you'd listen to the Word of God. Right. Listen to the truths that's been, yep, that I'm hammering on you right now. Remember them with our children and grandchildren. Remember these truths that we've talked about. Sin. Sinners. The very nature of them is hidden. To hide. To sneak. To deceive. To put on a front that's not real while they're really doing something else. Remember, because, you know, in spite of all this, I can watch an eagle and I can realize by knowing the nature of that thing what he's up to. When I see him flying, I know that's an eagle. Now, he may be pretty and he may be something to look at. It may be fantastic to watch him soar and be so free and so big and all of that. But I know something's fixing to die because he's flying. I can watch his serpent and I can say, well, you know, them colors are awful pretty and everything. But I ain't getting nowhere close to him. I ain't going to pick him up. Some fool out here, Sam A. Baker, a few years ago, you remember that? From the city. Come out of one of them cabins in Copperhead Land there, and he picked the thing up. And it bit him, and he died. Don't be that kind of a foolish person. You know, we can look at our children. We can look at other people around us. And when we see some things, we can know some things. Be aware. I mean, it's your duty as a parent. It's your duty as a husband. Be aware. And pay attention. Remember them while being a part of a church with other believers. Watch. To see if there's a snake about to get them. Or if an eagle's about to get them. You know, or if they're on a ship sailing away. If we remember and consider these ways, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid, and the way of an adulterous woman. If we just remember these ways, it'll help us to understand what's going on around us. And it'll give wisdom to see through the hiding and sneakiness of those around us. That's the problem. That's why sinners don't want to hear it. That's why they don't want to come to church. That's why when they do come to church, they keep hid as much as they can. Somebody can't look you in the eye. They're hiding something. Some of them can even look you right in the eye and keep hiding it. Get that good at it. Yes, sir. Boy, get that skill honed down. But, you know, Finney always said that sinners are hiding. Boy, he had that exactly right. And he said it's the preacher's duty to uncover them. Well, boy, that creates quite a conflict right there. Because the first thing they're going to do is say, I've done no wickedness. You can't prove it. You ain't got no evidence. And you ain't got no right to judge me. Because they've done a good job covering it. But see, young lady, you go out and get yourself in trouble with some young man who has his way with you. And you got to prove that he did it. But nobody has to prove you did it. Yeah, the pregnancy will prove that. That's why abortion is so popular. They can go get that done and nobody will ever know. See, it's a method of keeping on hiding it. Keep it hidden. But God so arranged this thing where the one who's best at keeping the secrets cannot keep the secret. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's awful solemn in here, but it's just the way it is. These things will help you. Remember this. Some people look at it and they look at these young romances and they think, oh, isn't that one? And they think of this, the too wonderful for me, the way of a man with a maid. And they say, oh. That's why it's important to read the context and understand what the Bible's talking about when you... I read one commentator, he did have some things to say, and it was all wacko like that. He talked about how love was so wonderful and parents can't arrange it, and you know, nobody else can force it. It's just a freewheeling thing that young people fall in love, and it's such a wonderful thing. It's so wonderful. Oh, X. X, I X that one out. All right, stand with me. It's just now noon o'clock, so we're doing good. I hope that you'll read your Bible. And I hope when you run across that, you'll remember these things. Simple little truth. I ain't preached a whole bunch of... I ain't give you a whole bunch of stuff here this morning. Just try to get it stuck in your mind that sin and sinners are sneaky. It's the nature of it. All evil is sneaky. It has to be because it's wrong. And every human has a conscience that tells them it's wrong. And so they got to hide it. When you find yourself hiding things, you better know. You better watch it. You're fixing to get bit. Something fixing to grab you and yank you up in the sky and devour you. Ryan them hunt ducks down there. I remember him telling me they have a terrible time with the eagles because they'll sit in the trees and watch them. And they shoot a duck, it falls in the water, that eagle will be right there and grab it. He said they'll just take it up there in the tree, they'll just fly up to a limb and they'll just lay that thing down and they'll just... whoosh, they'll just breast it right there. Just, yeah. That wonderful eagle. Such a beautiful thing. Love's so beautiful. This romance and all of this is just so beautiful. It's a wonderful thing for a man and a woman. And all of that. And marriage. And yes, all that's wonderful. But it better be in the right realm in the right order. It's holy matrimony. The way of a man with a maid. That's not what he's not talking about holy, anything holy there. It's like the way of an adulterous woman. I told her this morning on the way to church here, I said, if I was going to preach a series on women, just think of what all I could preach on. Here you got a You got an odious woman. That's in the next few verses there. You got a contentious woman. You got a foolish woman. You got a strange woman. You got an adulterous woman. Say, ain't there anything positive? Yeah, there's a wise woman. There's a virtuous woman. But it's a lot more negative. How many of you want me to start on that right away? See? One thing I've learned in this apostate time that we live in this wicked time, that's one subject if you better just stay off of. Well, I ain't going to, but I mean, most preachers will. If you say woman, then, buddy, you're in the bullseye. You're in the crosshairs. Mm-hmm. Can't tell women nothing. I wonder why that is. You know, why are we living in a time when women, generally speaking, even sitting in the church pews, Baptist churches, why are they so unreceptive to correction, to the Word of God, to truth? Why? You want me to tell you straight up why? Because they're hiding. That's why. They're hiding their wickedness. That's why they get violent and defensive about it. Virtuous woman ain't going to do that. She's going to be like any other repentant sinner, saint of God. She'll receive the word of God with meekness. Just like a repentant man will. Yes, It's a whole lot easier to preach to men than it is to women. Ain't that something? All right. Well, we've dug a hole here. Let's pray. Go home. Wonder how many warnings God gives before disaster strikes. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. I wish I could do a better job making these things as clear and sharp as they need to be. But Lord, I trust that your Spirit will take your Word and the things that were said and tried to be said here this morning and accomplish something in the hearts of your people that hear it. Please bless it now and to our hearts and minds. And I pray to help somebody in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.